What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail, and this is the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show. August is National Minority Donor Awareness Month, and the Nevada Donor Network, or NDN, has just returned from a successful showing at the 2022 Donate Life Transplant Games of America. Joining me today is Adriana Connolly, Multicultural Outreach Coordinator for the Nevada Donor Network, and June Monroe, Living Kidney Donor and Gold Medalist in Swimming. For National Minority Donor Awareness Month, NDN is continuing its effort to inform Nevadans about the critical need for more multicultural residents to register as organ, eye, and tissue donors. June is Asian American and donated a kidney to her brother after the first kidney he received from their father failed. Adriana and June, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Adriana, what exactly does the Nevada Donor Network do?
Okay, yes. So, Nevada Donor Network is an OPO, organ procurement nonprofit organization, also responsible for facilitating tissue and eye donation and transplantation statewide. In other words, our mission is to save and heal life through organ, eye, and tissue donation.
Okay, so this is National Minority Donor Awareness Month. Why is there a shortage of multicultural donors?
So National Multicultural Donor Awareness Month is so important for us because right now, 60% of the people who are in the national transplant waiting list are represented by multicultural communities. So, and we're talking about, we have over 100,000 Americans that they're like desperately waiting for a second chance at life. So when I'm talking about multicultural communities, I refer to African-American, Hispanics, Asian, Pacific Islanders, and Native American. So these communities, they tend to suffer from chronic illness like diabetes and high blood pressure. And sometimes these diseases can lead to an organ failure. So that's why they need some, in occasions, an organ. So there is a greater chance of longer-term survival in transplant recipients if the donor and the recipients are closely matched in terms of the same race or ethnicity, and this is because of the genetic marker. So we encourage everybody to register as an organ donor. Just saying yes to donation, it brings hope to all the people who are desperately waiting for a second chance at life.
See, I'm really glad that this is the awareness month because I always thought that organ donation was based on blood type rather than race or ethnicity.
Yes. I mean, the thing is, like, it has been proved that when there are longer terms of survival in transplant recipients, if the donor and the recipients, they match in order or the race. I'm not going to tell you that we cannot do transplants if the people doesn't share the same background or the same race or ethnicity, but there is like a higher chance of survival if they are closely matched in terms of the same race or ethnicity.
Okay, that's very good to know, and I'm glad you're sharing that with us. So what are the biggest needs in terms of organs that are needed by multicultural recipients?
Actually, 85% of the people who are in the national transplant waiting list, they're needing a kidney.
Kidney, okay.
Yes.
And June, you know about that since you donated a kidney to your brother. Can you tell us more about the story and the journey that brought you to that point?
Sure. So when my brother and I were kids, Brian was probably about 10 years old. I was about 12 years old. Brian's kidneys failed. The doctors had no idea why, because there is no family history of kidney failure. And so my dad ended up donating to Brian in the 80s, one of his kidneys. And so that was my first experience with, even though it's a living donation, which is different than registering to be an organ tissue donor. That was my first experience of, you know, the importance of organ tissue donation. And so the kidney that Brian, my brother, had from my father lasted several years. So Brian was able to, you know, it did enhance his life. Mm-hmm. And so it did last for several years, but then eventually it did fail. So Brian was on dialysis for a couple of years. And then on March 9th, 2005, I donated my kidney to Brian at UCLA. And that kidney lasted for several years as well. So, you know, he was able to go off of dialysis. Yeah. So it's part of our important part of our family. And I know that it saves lives. And, you know, the people who are waiting for a transplant, the lives that they experience and have, is, to me, they're the real heroes, because I don't know if I could go through what the people who are waiting for transplants go through.
Yeah, for sure. So June, how has it affected your life for the past almost 20 years, having only one kidney?
So I kind of got, I don't know the word to use, but I kind of thought I was invincible, and mm-hmm. I started creating a bucket list, and I started to, you know, I went skydiving, I, you know, went bungee jumping, and I started trying things, you know, that, were exciting, but I realized I need to slow down a little bit and that I'm not invincible. You know, but I did, you know, it made me realize, you know, I want to achieve things on my bucket list. I ended up writing a book, a children's book, just following my dreams and achieving things that I've wanted to, you know, set goals, and also to spread the word of organ tissue donation. So, you know, volunteering with Nevada Donor Network, Donate Life, One Legacy, also the National Kidney Foundation, just bringing awareness, you know, and saving lives. You know, you asked earlier about why is there a shortage of, you know, registered organ tissue donors. A lot of that is based on myths that people have. You know, some people believe, oh, you know, my religion doesn't support this, when in fact, most religions actually do support it as a final act of kindness. So there's a lot of myths. And thankfully, Donate Life America, Nevada Donor Network, their websites have a lot of information regarding, you know, those myths and the accurate information.
Okay. And then, you know, I guess you are a little bit invincible, because just a couple of weeks ago, you competed in the Transplant Games of America and won a gold medal in swimming. And we haven't mentioned yet, but you are 50 years old. So that's quite the accomplishment. I would say that you're pretty invincible. Yeah. What was that experience like?
So I, you know, I grew up swimming, but I hadn't after, you know, after high school, you know, kind of stopped. And so I hadn't swam for a while, here and there on occasion. And there is another volunteer. She's a kidney recipient with Nevada Donor Network. I met her hiking and we connected. We became friends, and she shared to me the transplant games, and she had competed before. And I was like, you know, I'm not very active. I don't think that's something, you know, that I should get involved with. And I think a lot of people think that it's kind of like the Olympics for transplant patients and living donors. So I was thinking, you know, sports competition. No, I don't really want to do that. And, you know, she, hearing her story, talking about, you know, you meet so many other people who are organ tissue, you know, either recipients or donors, and just believe in the cause, and make friends around the United States. It's a wonderful event. And so after hearing her talk about it, I thought, you know, I'm gonna try it out. So in 2018 was my first transplant games. It was in Salt Lake City, Utah. I won 5 medals in swimming, 2 gold and 3 silver. And it was such a wonderful experience. It's really not about the competition, although if you get a medal, that's bonus. But the great part is the camaraderie with all the participants and your teammates as well within our state. So, you know, because of COVID, it was postponed. They did have, I think it was like a virtual version. I didn't participate in that, but they did bring it back this year. So it's every 2 years. And they usually move it to a different state. So this year it was in San Diego, California, and it was the end of July, beginning of August. So I wanted to support Team Nevada again. So I registered for swimming, and because of my work schedule, I was only able to fly out Friday night, ended up Saturday because of flight issues. And then return Sunday. So I was only able to compete in swimming. I did register for 5 or 6 events and was only able to participate in the 100 breaststroke, which is my favorite stroke, where I won a gold medal in the 100 breaststroke. The other events I was not able to participate in because the meet was canceled because one of the competitors from another state actually had a medical emergency. And so they did have to cancel the rest of the competition, swimming competitions in the meet. But, you know, just, you know, the support of the team. And I think our team won like 34 medals total. And there were only 6 of us that participated from Team Nevada. So that was, yeah. So the teammates really brought it. It's just great, you know, having that, I don't know, the team collaboration, I guess you could say. And the support from Nevada Donor Network and just meeting so many other people. It's a great experience.
Yeah. And I know you said it's not about the medals. It's about the teamwork. It's about the camaraderie. But what does it feel like for those of us who have never won a gold medal? What does it feel like?
So I was kind of shocked in 2018 when I actually did win some medals because I was like, I haven't swam in a long time. So I don't know, you know, and then, you know, this year it was exciting because when I was swimming initially, you know, I practiced here and there. I started out kind of slow because you want to pace yourself and you don't want to go too fast in the beginning. And so I was kind of going a little too slow probably at the beginning to kind of relax. But then I heard my teammates and saw my teammates. So in breaststroke, you know, you would come up for air and I saw my teammates on the other side of the pool, like as I was approaching the side of the pool, screaming and yelling my name and taking pictures. And so it got me thinking and going, you know, this is a race. I didn't pick up the speed here. And so then I really started picking it up and, you know, so that was exciting, just having, you know, your teammates cheer you on. And yeah, it was a wonderful experience. And getting the gold for, you know, our team and in Nevada, and the Nevada Donor Networks did such a wonderful job of contacting. So I know Mayor Goodman actually, you know, congratulated us and made a statement. I know the North Las Vegas mayor did as well. And just having, you know, our state of Nevada supporting us is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Could one of you share some of the other participants who also brought home medals?
So actually, her name is Denora. She's a kidney recipient and she won around 40 medals. So including like most of them, there were gold. So we're so proud of her. And we're so proud of you, Ayum. Like, I just want to take this opportunity. And I just thank you for all the wonderful work that you guys do for Nevada Donor Network, for all the people who are like waiting in the National Transplant Waiting List, and also like for encourage people to register as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. I mean, it is so wonderful. Like, this experience, because actually I think my personal opinion is like Transplant Games of America is a great opportunity to show the world like the positive impact that organ transplantation has on people's life. I mean, regular I mean, in occasions, like there are some people that they're not even able to like do swimming, to do running. Like they don't have the physical like body or like mentally like to do all those kind of activities, you know? And it's so wonderful how we see that participants like you that has been touched by donation are able to do that and are able to have like a regular productive life and show the world like the importance of organ and eye and tissue donation in our society. So thank you so much for your support. We really appreciate you.
Thank you. And I can share about the participants that were there. So Dinora is actually my friend who actually got me involved in the transplant game. She's the one that encouraged me. And she's just so inspiring. She's amazing. And then there was another living donor, Joanne from Reno, Northern Nevada. We had two heart recipients who are both in high school here in Las Vegas. They competed, Brianna and Oscar.
So we have, yeah, Dinora, Brianna, Joanne, Oscar, and June. Yeah.
Yes. I remember there was a sixth person who was not able to attend. So
that's incredible. So congratulations, June. Great showing. Thank you for representing Nevada and for the whole team for doing so well. That's incredible. So if someone's listening and they're thinking, okay, you've convinced me, I do want to sign up to be a tissue donor or even a living donor, what would they do?
So I would encourage everybody to go to mbdonor.org and register as an organ donor. You can also go to registerme.org and that will send you to the form. There is also a way that you can go to, if you have an iPhone, you can go to your help app, tap in your medical ID, and that it will send you to the form too. And then you can also go to the DMV and get the heart in your driver license. So those are easy ways that you can register as an organ donor. And again, I just wanted to share with everybody the positive impact that organ donation can bring to other people's life. One organ donor can save the lives of 8 others through organ donation and heal the life of 75 people or more through tissue donation. So it's just like just saying yes to donation. It brings hope to all the people who are in the national transplant waiting list. And yeah, it's just a beautiful act. So if you are unsure about becoming or registering as an organ donor, I will also encourage you to visit us in our website, educate yourself. Please look at the impact of organ donation. You can also look at those beautiful, inspirational stories that we have there. And then after, you can make the decision if you want to become an organ donor, organ and tissue donor. But I would just say that let's just start like educating ourselves and then we can help others.
So I don't want people to think that when they register as an organ tissue donor, that they're registering as a living donor, because that's completely separate. When people register as an organ tissue donor, that is not to register as a living donor. So I don't want people to be confused about that and think, oh, if I register, I'm, you know, registering to be a living donor. And that's not the case. That would be totally separate issue. So I know that like me personally, obviously it was my brother. But like Joanne in Reno, one of our teammates, she actually donated to a coworker. Some people have donated to complete strangers and they still don't know who they donated to. And they find them on Facebook, on social media. I know some people who have found people on social media. So when people register that, again, that is only that is not for living donation registration.
So June, is there a way to, so let's say for instance, someone is open to the idea of donating a kidney, but they don't know anyone who needs one. Is there some kind of database or somewhere where they can say, hey, you know, let me know when you have someone who needs a kidney that is my blood type, my ethnicity, or, you know, what have you?
I don't actually know the answer to that question. I do know that, you know, people do reach out and and find, you know, like I said, on social media or, you know, in some instances. So Adriana had mentioned the importance of being a match. So my brother and I were a match, but sometimes even within the same family, they're not a match. And so what happens is someone in the family, it's called a paired donation, or I don't remember the exact terminology, but where there's a chain, like maybe 9 people will sign up to be donors. And so, for example, if I need to donate to my nephew, I can't because we're not a match. But someone else wants to donate to their loved one. They're not a match. So we decide we're going to donate to each other's loved one.
Ah, okay.
We always encourage people also to like contact their local transplant center. Mm-hmm. First, like if somebody wants to register as a living donor, they need to be healthy, like mentally and physically healthy. So the doctors, they will run like a certain amount of tests to determine if that person is healthy enough to become a living donor. And then also like the local transplant center, they will guide them through the process to become a living donor. Because as you mentioned, there are certain factors that they have in mind, like blood type. They also have like the size of the body and other factors that they need to have in consideration before they say, yes, you're eligible to be a living donor.
Okay. So, Adriana, if people go to the Nevada Donor Network website, nvdonor.org, are there also opportunities if they want to make a monetary donation or maybe even volunteer to help out?
Oh, yes, 100%. So if somebody wants to be a volunteer at Nevada Donor Network, we have a program that is called Advocates of Life. And they can, there is a form that they can fill out. They just need to go to a process that we need to educate them about the organ, eye, and tissue donation. Because they need to be able to answer questions to the community if they have any kind of question regarding to our cast, right? So yeah, everybody's more than welcome. If you support our mission, please do it. Visit nvdonor.org. Also, if you want to make any kind of contribution, you can go to our foundation. And actually, our foundation aims to build a full transplant center here in Las Vegas. So people who are needing an organ that other than a kidney, they have the possibility to have it here, because currently we just only have a kidney transplant center in Nevada. So yeah, so if you want to support our mission, please like go visit our website, mbdonor.org, and then you can find the ways that you can be more involved with our mission.
Okay, and just to clarify, to follow up on June's point, that living donors and tissue donors are not the same thing. So when someone on their driver's license gets the heart saying that they're a tissue donor, that means if they're in an accident and unfortunately pass away, that they're giving permission for their organs to be donated, correct?
That is correct, but it has a little bit more information behind that. Like, it's not just saying like, oh, I just have the heart in my driver's license and I'm just gonna, they're just gonna recover all my organs. No, like first, there are different kind of organ donations. So we have living donation, which is June. We have also a like brain dead donation, that this is when we consider that we can recover the organs of the people. And then we have tissue donation. Now, the only way that we can recover organs is like, yes, you have to be registered as an organ donor, but we also need to have the permission of the family. So the families are the ones who has the final decision and the ones who authorize donation. So we don't consider donation after the authorization and first at all. First, death has to be declared. And then after death has been declared is when we start all the process of recovering organs and tissue. But the first step is just saying yes to donation. Just saying yes to donation, it brings hope to all the people. We need more registrations so we can stop the wait.
And yes, that it is unfortunately when someone passes away, so when people register either through their driver's license or on a website, that is for, you know, deceased donation, not living donation. That's right.
Yes.
That's separate.
Okay.
Thank you for clarifying that, June.
Okay, so step one, if you want to be considered for tissue donation after an untimely passing, not that we really want to talk about that, but you're giving a gift, actually, if you donate to someone after passing because, you know, you can't use the organs anymore, you can't use the tissue anymore, someone else, it could save their lives. So that's one thing, if you want to do that through your driver's license. If you want to find out more about the Nevada Donor Network, the website is nvdonor.org. They have opportunities there where you can donate financially or find out more about being a living donor or being a tissue donor. And you can also find volunteer opportunities there, as well as a wealth of information if you want to get more educated about the whole topic. And also registerme.org if you'd like to register as an organ donor. And as June mentioned, keep an eye out on social media, or if, you know, friends or family members who are looking for a living donor, you know, just keep an open mind, because as Adriana mentioned, there's a huge need, especially for multicultural donors. So, you know, if you're able to help out, June is proof that you can still be not quite invincible, but extremely healthy after the fact. So again, nvdonor.org is the website for the Nevada Donor Network. And Adriana and June, I want to thank you both so much for being here, for letting us know more about this, for sharing your story, June, and for sharing the opportunities, Adriana. Thank you both so much, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
I felt nervous that I wouldn't have a family.
I was getting older and older. I didn't think I was going to get adopted.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi, Connor, and Lashawna now have a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
When I was adopted, it was like, wow, I get to settle and this is permanent.
After I was adopted, I felt happy.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
Every child deserves a safe, loving, and permanent home. Help the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption find forever families for children who have been lingering in foster care the longest. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
National Nonprofit Awareness Day was October 17th, and Black Pearl Promotions hosted their annual Nonprofit Awareness Day community event at the Sahara West Library to shine the spotlight on the nonprofits in our own community. The event featured entertainment, speakers, including me, and the opportunity to meet and greet with local nonprofits. I also got a chance to interview some of the nonprofits at their tables, as well as founder Sean Maddox. Sean, why did you decide to put this event together for Nonprofit Awareness Day?
August 17th, every single year, is National Nonprofit Awareness Day. And it's basically an opportunity to shift a little bit of the focus on the nonprofits in the community that are doing tremendous work in the community and providing services to members of the community. Last year was actually our first year doing the event. And as you may know, during that time, it was a pandemic. And we just wanted to really focus on getting the community out to see what nonprofits were available and what services were available to them. There's literally, in no matter what area you're in, there's hundreds and hundreds of nonprofits that are doing tremendous work in every community. Most people know about the larger nonprofits, but there's so many nonprofits out there, Heather, the smaller ones that really don't get recognition. They don't get the attention that they deserve, and they're still providing amazing services to the community. So one of the goals of this event is to really help bring awareness, not just to the bigger nonprofits, but also the smaller ones that are really making a difference to people.
I'm speaking with Alex Pasillas, Executive Director of Food for Kids, Inc. Alex, tell me what you're doing here at the Nonprofit Day event.
Well, today we are here to show what Food for Kids is and what we do in the state of Nevada. And we work with licensed home daycares, child care providers, adult daycare centers, and they get federal reimbursement for the food they feed the children and adults. We've been doing this since 1987 throughout the whole state of Nevada, and it is a wonderful program, and we feed over 4,000 children and adults a day.
Wow, that's incredible. That sounds like a lot of food.
It is a lot of food, and they get the reimbursement for it, so they have to keep track of everything, and we have software for them to use, and it's just really a great program, and it helps to prevent childhood obesity, and the adult daycare centers are amazing because they are getting hot food every day.
Awesome. So if someone's listening and they want to find out more information about what you do or maybe even donate or volunteer or whatever, where would they go?
They can look at our website. It's foodforkidsnevada.org. And so that's foodforkidsnevada.org.
Okay, awesome. So foodforkidsnevada.org, foodforkidsnevada.org is the website to find out more information. And Alex, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
I'm speaking with Elliot from FAME, the Foundation to Assist Young Musicians. Elliot, tell me what you're doing here at the Nonprofit Day event.
Well, just the spreading the word about what we do. And basically that is giving music lessons to kids from underserved communities. In Title I schools, and we start them in the first grade, and we go up until middle school.
Do you work directly with the schools and go into the schools to teach them?
No, this is independent from the schools. This is an after-school activity, and it's done in the Vegas community centers.
Okay, awesome. So if someone's listening and they have a young person in the family that they think would be great learning music, where do they go to find more information?
Go to the website, and it's thefame, FAYM.org.
TheFAYM, FAYM.org, Foundation to Assist Young Musicians, TheFAYM. Thank you so much, Elliot. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
I'm speaking with Eric Threaton from Nevada School of Inquiry. Eric, what exactly is the Nevada School of Inquiry?
Yes, the Nevada School of Inquiry is a nonprofit private middle school. We are enrolling students grades 6 through 8, super small. Our micro school only has 30 students. My wife and I, after teaching in CCSD for the last 15 years, wanted to do something different. So we decided we were going to open our own school. And that's exactly what we've done. Last Wednesday was our first day, and we're doing it. It's a little bit different than a traditional school. We are, like I said, only 30 students, a lot of hands-on, a lot of instruction tailored specifically to students, individual students, so individualized learning. And one of our big things is we want to get the kids outside of our four walls. So we take at least one field trip a month. We try to get them out there and applying what they're learning in class to real world applications. So, and inspiring a love for the outdoors, nature, and service.
So. Okay, and you said middle school, so it's just grades 6, 7, and 8?
Yes, it is grades 6, 7, and 8. After teaching and being an administrator, we've realized that there's this black void in middle school where students go and they can go either way. And we really want to be able to catch them at a pivotal time in their life, instill the love of learning, so that way they are prepared really for high school and beyond.
What is the curriculum focus? Is it like specifically focused in one area, or you know, what makes it different from a CCSD school?
Yeah, absolutely. So we assess the students on the same standards as any other school, the Nevada State standards. But our method is we teach through questioning. That's why inquiry is right in our name. Instead of standing and giving a lecture and having some rote memorization back and forth, we pose students with a problem, and through working through that problem, they learn about the world, they understand concepts better, and they're actually forming their own claims based off evidence they see in front of them to understand the world around them.
Are you still taking students even though the school year already started?
Yes, absolutely. We have a rolling registration, and we have space right now for students. We'll welcome them at any time they're ready to come to us.
Where is it located?
We're right by Sunset Park. We're on Pecos and Warm Springs.
That's actually near me, and my son's in middle school, so.
Yeah, all right.
All right, so what's the website if people want to find out more or enroll their kids?
Absolutely. We are at www.nvsi.school.
NVSI.school stands for Nevada School of Inquiry. .school. So, NVSI.school. If you want to find out more about the brand new nonprofit private school for middle school students, Nevada School of Inquiry. And Eric, thank you so much for telling us about it.
Thank you.
I'm speaking with Andrew Brannon, outreach specialist for the Clark County Library District. Hey, Andrew, what are you guys doing here at the Nonprofit Day event?
Hey, good to see you again. So what we're doing is we're promoting a library free services that we have to offer. Everything is free. We have a business hub. We have promoting our library resources, our homework help. We have some pens, flyers, things like that. So, yeah, we're just letting the community know what the library has to offer.
Yeah, because most people don't know what the library has to offer. They know it's books. But you guys have a lot of events and classes and all kinds of stuff going on.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have free tutoring at the library. We also have some homework help. We also have some teen tech labs that we have. We have computer labs and things like that. So we're just letting the community know that everything in this library is free. And you just come out and do business with us and everything. We have one-stop career centers at some of the libraries. So we're here to spread the word.
So what's involved in the homework help?
The homework helps. So we have free tutors. We have tutors inside the libraries. And we have teacher tutors. We also have online homework help as well. We have tutors from 1 o'clock to 10 o'clock where the kids can look in the databases and get some homework help and things like that. So, yeah, so everything's free, and we're just letting everybody know.
Okay, and what's the website if listeners want to find out more?
It's www.lvccld.org, and that will be changing soon. But if you can, if you just go on the website and look it up, everything is on there. All the information is on there. So.
Okay, so once again, it's lvccld.org for all the information, lvccld.org. Andrew, thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Heather.
I'm speaking with Denise Wonders from Bunnies Matter Rescue. I love bunnies.
They're so sweet.
They're adorable. So what do you guys do? What is Bunnies Matter?
It is a nonprofit, 501c3, out at Floyd Lamb State Park. We're out there every day of the week, cleaning in the mornings, cleaning in the afternoons. Saturday is our adoptions from 10 to 3. So we rescue. We have a lot of people that surrender their bunnies. We spay or neuter, chip, and vaccinate them before they go out to homes. We have all the special equipment that they need, the right equipment and food that they need to go be home and in-home free-roam bunny that will go home to a nice family.
Why do people give up their pet bunnies?
They've been giving them up lately because they're getting maybe lose their homes, lose their jobs. The children have grown older and they can't, allergies. You know, allergies. Yeah. Can't take care of the bunny anymore. So they do surrenders a lot lately.
Okay. And Jackie, you've been with the Bunny Rescue for a long time. How has it changed over the years? What kind of trends have you seen?
Well, at the beginning, we just rescued the bunnies that were dumped at the park. So however many there were at that time, we brought them in, we rescued them. Now we're taking on all the surrenders and people that find one and they don't know what to do with it. We're taking in like five, we get like five phone calls at least a day for people. We are so bombarded with so many rabbits. I have 25 in my own house, 16 4x4 pens. Dave has like 20 in his house, and our bunny barn is packed with bunnies. It's just, we're just getting so many surrenders. People that are allergic, they're allergic to the hay they eat. They're just, people are homeless. A lot of people are becoming homeless. They can't take care of their bunny. Just so many reasons. They're moving out of state. They can't take their bunny. So we're just really, really, really busy. I work like 16 hours a day for these bunnies.
Wow. So if people are listening and they want to help out, either, you know, they want to volunteer or they want to donate or they found a bunny and don't know who to give it to, where would they go?
Well, we're at Floyd Lamb State Park, and we do adoptions, like I say, every Saturday from 10 to 3. We do need volunteers to come out and help clean 7 days a week. Jackie is our volunteer coordinator, 2 hours in the morning.
There's two shifts a day, 7:30 and 4 right now. And in wintertime, it goes to 7:30 and 2:30. Feed and clean every single pen, groom, trim nails, you know, so.
We need volunteers for that. We have a wish list that we put out on our website and in the trifold at the barn. And we also always in need of food over at Jones Feed, where they can call up and say they'd like to donate some of the foods that are on our list, and then we go by and pick it up. But we're always needing volunteers. We're having that event coming up on the 24th of September, and we need volunteers for that, volunteers to clean, volunteers to clip their nails, like she says, and groom them. On Saturdays, we have adoptions, so we need people to come and just be there all day long and answer questions, meet and greet people that come in, educate them, you know. Like, you know, 80% of their diet every day is hay. We give them, you know, romaine lettuce, not leaf lettuce, whatever it all is. And we'd like to be there so they can come in and just learn more about the bunnies and the problem that we have here in Las Vegas.
It's the backyard breeders we're having a big problem with. And those are the neighborhoods that are bombarded with rabbits, and they're just everywhere, and they keep multiplying. They can have babies every 30 days, 1 to 11 babies. They can carry two different litters at the same time. So when you add that together, there's a lot of bunnies out there, so we're going after the backyard breeders. And the Animal Foundation has been sending everybody, all the rabbits, our way. And the SPCA, the no-kill, they're packed right now with bunnies. They can't take anymore. And so right now we're trying not to take any surrenders in, but it's hard to say no. It's really hard. That's why I have 25 of them in my house.
That's a lot.
That's why we took in about 5 or 6 this last weekend, too.
Yeah, but one then, adoption, one went out and 4 came in.
So it's not even like 1 step forward, 2 steps back. It's 1 step forward, 4 steps back.
Because we want them to have the, you know, going to the veterinarian, getting those services that they need too. So before they go out, it's spay or neuter, chip and vaccinate, which costs us a lot of money. So it costs us $480 for a pair of bunnies to be vetted and all the equipment that we give out, the X-Pen, the bunny food, the carrier, water bowl.
We give them everything so that when they go home, they don't have to run to the pet store and buy anything. We give them everything they need right then. Yeah, and we also give them Bunnies 101. We give them a whole class. They sit down and they listen. We go through a packet, every little step by step, what to look for in case they should get like stasis, which is a GI problem they get. We even give them gas drops for that. We give them everything they need.
So a pair of bunnies does cost us about $480 to get all of their, like I said, vetted and all the equipment that they need and the food and everything to go home. And we charge $200 for a pair of bunnies to be adopted. So Dave is wonderful. He's our founder. He's our CEO. He just wants what's best for the animal, to find a good, loving home with the proper equipment, no matter if we're taking a loss, you know, every time. So
yeah,
we try to do
$80 loss. Is that what it is? $280 loss every time.
So we try to do a lot of fundraising, just like this one. It's going to be our fall festival again. I did a spring fling for them in April, and now we're going to do a fall festival to raise funds for the rabbits out there.
Okay, and what's the website where people can get more information?
Bunniesmatter.org.
Okay, so bunniesmatter.org. You can find out more information about Bunnies Matter. You can also donate there, or you can go to Floyd Lamb Park every Saturday from 10 to 3, and that's where they're having the adoptions, but they need help. So go to bunniesmatter.org, find out more, and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Meeting you today and being here. Thank you for spreading the word. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I've had pet bunnies. I love bunnies, so of course.
You can come to my house.
Right now I have 4 dogs and 2 cats, so.
Anytime you're welcome to come out and just socialize with them, pet them, visit with them. They just want some love right now until they find their own home. Anytime.
That's awesome. I might actually do that. Thank you.
A lot of people, they don't really want an animal right now, or they can't have it, but we just like them to come out and check us out. And, you know, and a lot of people, I help a lot of rescues or whatever from time to time in Las Vegas. Everybody has a wish list. So when they say, what do you want? We have a wish list. So that's important to have that readily and available to anybody that just asks that simple question.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so bunniesmatter.org is the place to check out. Thanks again. All right, so I'm speaking with Renee Caseman and Laurie O'Neill from NV3 Sagebrush Marines chapter. What are you doing here today at the Nonprofit Day event?
We're trying to get more female Marines to join our chapter and make awareness of our chapter of what we do for our veterans and the community and get donations to help support them.
Okay, and where would people go if they want to sign up or if they want to donate?
We do have a Facebook. It's called N3 Sagebrush Marines. You could donate there. We have a GiveButter website that is on there that you could donate. Or you could reach out to us on our email, which is provided on our Facebook page too, NV3 Sagebrush Marines.
And why is there a shortage of female Marines?
Actually, there's beginning to be more and more, which is why we're reaching out to let them know that we are here for them and we're available for resources. We also have our older female Marines that are now the veterans that we want to take care of and make sure that they're not forgotten. So, yeah, we will include everyone from 18 to 90.
And what's the experience being a Marine like?
So it's a challenge, not only because you're a Marine, but because you're a female. So there are times where you're not only challenging the Marine Corps, but you're challenging the people around you to be better and make a point of being a female. So our chapter wants to bring awareness that, hey, you don't have to sit here and prove that you're great, because you are great, and we want to make awareness of that.
Nice. Awesome. Thanks so much. Tell me the Facebook again.
NV3 Sagebrush Marines.
Okay. Awesome. Thanks so much, ladies. I'm speaking with Frank Pizarro, founder and president of the Firefighter Memorial Transport, Inc. Frank, tell me what you guys are doing here at the Nonprofit Day event.
This is my wife, Valerie. She's the vice president, and we're here to give awareness to the fallen heroes. What our organization does is we carry the remains of fallen heroes in procession. We have these beautifully designed vehicles to carry them on their final day and to service the widows and their families and to do community service as well.
So how would people contact you or find out more information if they're interested in that?
Well, you can go to our website directly, firefightermemorialtransport.org, and all the information on how to contact us is there. We are open and available for fallen firefighters and military as well, and veterans, but also police officers. Anytime you can reach out to someone and we will respond.
And what prompted you to start the organization in the first place?
Well, I did 22 years with the New York City Fire Department and served during 9/11. And I retired and came out to the Nevada area. And I saw that this service wasn't being provided. So in order to keep myself busy and to continue to serve, I created the Firefighter Memorial Transport.
Okay, that's awesome. Thanks so much. So once again, it's firefightermemorialtransport.org. firefightermemorialtransport.org for more information. Thank you so much.
To some people, the sound of a baby babbling doesn't mean much. But that's not necessarily true. By 6 months, they're combining vowels and consonants. By 9 months, they're trying out different kinds of sounds. And by 12 months, their babbling is beginning to take on some meaning. Especially if there's no babbling at all. Little to no babbling by 12 months or later is just one of the possible signs of autism in children. Early screening and intervention can make a lifetime of difference and unlock a world of possibilities. Take the first step at AutismSpeaks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
I'm Heather Vail with the Odyssey Las Vegas Public Affairs Show, and this is your community events calendar for nonprofit initiatives and charity events around the Valley. The Nevada School of Inquiry, a nonprofit private middle school, is currently enrolling students from grades 6 through 8. This is a micro school that takes a personal approach to learning. Find out more or submit an application at nvsi.school. That's nvsi.school. Monday's Dark with Mark Chinook is a bi-monthly musical fundraising party at The Space, with each event raising $10,000 for a specific charity in 90 minutes. Upcoming shows include this Monday, August 22nd at 8 p.m., benefiting Aiden's Army of Angels, Monday, September 12th at 8 p.m., benefiting the Serving Our Kids Foundation, and Monday, September 26th at 8 p.m., benefiting the United Citizens Foundation. Get tickets or find out more details at MondaysDark.com. Bunnies Matter Rescue is holding their fall festival and rummage sale on Saturday, September 24th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Floyd Lamb Park in the Bunny Building. It's fun for the whole family with games, goodies, gifts, and crafts. They also hold bunny adoptions every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Floyd Lamb Park. Find out more about bunny adoptions, the fall festival, or volunteer and donation opportunities at bunniesmatter.org or facebook.com/bunniesmatter. Project 150 is hosting their Night in Havana charity fundraiser on Saturday, September 24th at 7 p.m. at The Industrial on Industrial Road. The organization provides free support and services to homeless, displaced, and disadvantaged high school students. Find out more or get your tickets at project150.org. That's project150.org. The Collaboration Center Foundation, or CCF, is holding its second annual Night on Blanc Gala, a ranch chic event benefiting individuals and families of all disabilities and ages. It includes a dine-around, open bar, entertainment by Cirque Mechanics, and a live and silent auction. The event will be held on Wednesday, September 28th at 6 p.m. at Collaboration Center's Las Vegas Ranch Campus on Windmill. Get tickets, sponsorships, or more information at collablv.org. That's collablv.org. Clark County officials and the October 1 Memorial Committee are looking for ideas and proposals for a memorial project to honor victims of the October 1, 2017 mass shooting at the Route 91 Harvest Music Festival in Las Vegas. This is the start of an 18-month process, and you have until September 30th to submit your ideas. There are other ways to get involved in the process and share your expertise as well. Find out all the details and submission requirements at clarkcountynv.gov/1October Memorial. That's clarkcountynv.gov/1October Memorial. Junior Achievement of Southern Nevada is holding their J.A. Booathon Bowling Fundraiser on Saturday, October 15th and Sunday, October 16th at 8:30 a.m. at the Santa Fe Bowling Center. Join a team and bowl in the fast lane. Get all the details at jasnv.org. That's jasnv.org. Black Pearl Promotions is holding a Bring Back the 70s Disco fundraising event to support Domestic Violence Awareness Month and Breast Cancer Awareness Month on Friday, October 28th from 8 p.m. till midnight at Starbase LV on West Diablo Drive near Allegiant Stadium. Get all the details and buy your tickets at blackpearlpromotions.com. That's blackpearlpromotions.com. The 26th annual Boulder City Lions Club Charity Golf Tournament is happening on Saturday, November 12th at 8 a.m. at Boulder City Municipal Golf Course. You can sign up now through October 1st by sending a message through social media at facebook.com/Boulder City Lions Club. That's facebook.com/Boulder City Lions Club. And Free Boutique Cycled Fashion is giving away free clothes to men, women, and children with no documents required. The boutique is located on Charleston, east of Maryland Parkway. Bring your own bags and make an appointment at facebook.com/freeboutique. That's facebook.com/freeboutique.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing? Or your daughter's first birthday party? You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.